everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 120, the weekly podcast from GamesRadar.com, where we talk about all the big events in the world of video games. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with
Lorenzo Valoria,
Anthony Snyder,
and Ashley Reed.
Is that number right, 120?
Yeah,
believe it or not. Holy crap.
We're doing it.
This year's been going by so fast.
Yeah, this year went by pretty fast. This is our last episode for 2014. We're all going on a big holiday break.
Long-ass vacation time.
Yeah.
It's the greatest time of the year.
Attack the backlog.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, we're real lucky compared to, you know, other companies just that I know of that, like, they don't get off an entire week and a half. Like.
Yeah, we get that company-wide, which is pretty nice.
I know.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. But, so we're all just, like, counting the minutes until it's over. I'm actually gone tomorrow. I'm leaving a little earlier than everybody else, but using vacation days. But you listeners don't want to hear about that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the time off and catching up on some other games and stuff. So I'm spending half my trip in Florida visiting my family. So
nice.
I'm actually going to bring the only games I'll be playing will be handheld ones that I'm bringing with me. I have a friend who's actually bringing like his PS4. I'm not sure if he did, but he was thinking of bringing his PS4 with him.
Just
on his trip
around.
Across the country.
Bring your Vita and remote play it.
I was thinking about doing that myself. I was thinking about bringing my PS4 home, but I think maybe I'll just bring books. I'll just read.
But as in books? Like, books take up so much space. Just
not like a lot of books.
Just read the text in the video game.
Yeah, if you bring four books, you might as well just bring your PS4. Yeah,
I guess
that's
so.
True. It's about the same way.
Yeah, I used to bring comic books with me on all these trips, but now it's just like they take up too much space. And once you're done with them, then it's just like in your bag the entire time.
Go digital.
For no good reason. Yeah, that's why I've gone digital. I just read it on Comixology or Kindle or whatever.
Comixology is awesome. Love that thing.
Yeah, it's really great. All right, but anyway, let's get into the final top seven that we're going to do on the podcast for this year, though. Don't worry, there will still be some every Monday because it's the feature we do every Monday and have for 8 years now, I think. No, more like 9 years. 9 years. But anyway.
I think you just need to say it's 7 years forever. It could be like 15 years. Just keep saying seven.
Yeah, 7 years. Mm-hmm.
So this is the top seven painful gaming moments that made us wince. Written by Connor Sheridan, I believe.
Yes, that's right. And these are physically painful, not just like socially awkward, like secondhand embarrassment kind of wincing. Like,
yeah,
that actually hurt.
There are things that happen to a character on screen that then make you go like, ooh, because you identify with the character so much. Like when something bad happens to him, though. I don't see anything from The Walking Dead on here. That definitely made me wince a few times, the Telltale's Walking Dead season 1.
Oh, yeah, people just being ripped apart.
Well, when stuff happens to you, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Gets real gross towards the end.
But anyway, number seven, Animal Crossing's bee stings.
Not the bees.
Yeah, it's interesting to start with such a cutesy game on the list, but this one. So Animal Crossing, you are your avatar. You're not even playing a character in it, but you really identify with them. And you spend the whole game, you know, pretty much just in this happy world where only good things happen to you and just friendly animals are talking to you all the time. But if you shake the wrong tree or try to chop it down, every once in a while, like randomly, a beehive will fall out of it. And then immediately the music turns and it's the sound of like a bee chasing you, like panic music. And if you don't stay ahead of them, which you pretty much can't, then they descend on your face. And when they fly away, they're like, oh, you got a bee sting, and you're like, your eye is swollen, and your character looks so sad, and everybody in the town like thinks you're ugly, like it hurts.
Oh my God.
They all keep commenting on your face. They're like, "Ooh, you don't look so good." And
you can
spend money on medicine to fix it, or you can just leave it alone and it fixes itself. But but it's real painful to see. Like once you see this character who you're used to just being this happy little villager the entire time, that then all of a sudden their eye is swollen shut and they like look in a lot of pain.
Poor little
That's
dude.
If only bee stings in real life, you could just take a pill and like, oh, it's better. Like,
yeah. When you're a kid, the getting a bee sting's really the worst thing you could ever get. I would just remember having this fear of bees.
I know.
I think it was because of that one movie, My girl with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. I cried after that.
Yeah. What happened? Did somebody what?
Spoilers for My Girl, but it's bees.
Oh no.
Macaulay Culkin is allergic to bees. It's set up early in the film and he is like stung to death.
Yeah.
Like,
so he dies. then he can't see without his glasses. He needs his glasses.
Oh yeah, he drops them.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
Yeah, and so like they spend the whole movie being friendly and then all of a sudden they're best friends and then as they're both growing up then he dies. Like it's really,
I remember that
really
now.
Sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, number six. Metal Gear Solid 3's torture and eyeball shot.
Gross.
So Metal Gear 3, the Metal Gear Solid series kind of always has a torture scene in it. Like, it's kind of
by its nature.
It's something imagine is going to happen. At some point, you'll get captured and tortured. And
was it always Ocelot that was doing it? In Solid, it was Ocelot. Mm-hmm. In 3, it was Ocelot 2.
I don't think it was Ocelot in 2. Well, I guess it was Ocelot's forces doing it to Raiden.
Yeah.
I mean, in 3, it wasn't Ocelot directly. He was just in the room.
He was just kind of there, yeah.
Well,
he didn't shoot out the eye.
Yeah. And then in, 4, I guess you could attribute it to Ocelot as well. And then in 5, though, Ocelot's nowhere to be seen. And so the torture is kind of done by... what was that guy? Zero? No, not Zero. Ghostface. No, not Ghostface.
That works. Ghostface.
No, Skeletonface. That's his name.
That's his name?
It's really stupid.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he does some really horrible things in Metal Gear 5, but they happen off screen and are just more implied. But anyway, this torture scene shows you, how Big Boss loses his eye and just this like horrible, horrible things that happen. And it's supposed to, I think, be a bookend for Ocelot's famous torture scene in the first game of just this guy is always, these groups are always into torturing people.
Yeah. It's this is where he learned it from.
Mm-hmm. Ocelot was pretty messed up in this one, though, because he was actually torturing Ava a little bit in this one. He's like, okay, I'm going to put this bullet in this gun, flip these guns around, and then I'm going to fire each one at you to see if I kill you. And it's like, that's a little messed up. Mm-hmm. You're not actually beating her, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I saw a real dude online who could do Ocelot's gun twirling tricks that he does in 3. Like in 3 is when he does it the craziest. The craziest one to me is the side spin where he holds his hand sideways and spins the revolver around his finger.
Like gangster style, but he's spinning.
But spinning it. It's pretty crazy. All right, number 5, Alien Isolation's belly button piercing.
Oh, gross.
Awesome. He sticks it in. The alien catches sticks his
tail blade thing, whatever that is.
In you, and then when you look down at it, he's like, that's nice, huh? Then he pushes it in some more and then takes it out.
And you get a second to be like, oh no, yeah. Oh no, that's not where that's supposed to be. Oh God.
It's not supposed to be anywhere.
I mean, that's a classic thing from the Alien series of getting stabbed in the back and then somebody having that kind of movie-esque reaction of wait, have I been stabbed? What? And they cough
true,
out blood.
But it's different when it's you and you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're used to being killed by the alien in a lot of ways in that game, but that's one of the most cinematic ones. It definitely gets you because it's not the alien kind of gets you from behind. You don't see it coming as much, right?
Yeah. I can get away, and then it's why did it vibrate? Oh no, I didn't.
How many times has that happened this year? Because I can actually think of a something else with it. That thing. Because I know in. Spoilers, in one of the BioShock DLC, you get the same thing of getting stabbed in the back and looking down, and it's like, oh, shit.
I mean, it's just a trope that happens a lot. I can't remember a specific game where I saw that.
That happens in, a Call of Duty game or something.
Yeah, it usually does.
I'm sure it does.
You're my hands and blood and, oh.
Oh, well... Killzone did something at the end you get shot or whatever.
It's a very dramatic way to kill somebody.
Goes all the way back to the first BioShock at least.
But it definitely gets you. It's more intense when it happens to you by an alien because you're also seeing this thing I've seen this in a movie. Oh no, I'm screwed. And
it's like oh damn it.
All right, number 4. Mortal Kombat's X-ray moves, as introduced in the recent-ish Mortal Kombat reboot, though these were new moves to the series that everybody's used to the fatalities that are super violent, but you kind of expect those. And you've already lost the match, so you're not as into it. But when you're in the middle of the match in with the introduced X-ray moves, like somebody does a special move to you and then does a thing that basically would kill you. Like, yeah, you would be dead.
Yeah.
But, and then it just...
Cracks your skull and everything.
Yeah, it pauses and zooms in of like, cracks your skull or your neck, your spine compacts and snaps.
Or destroys your spleen. Or,
there's actually, there was a really good one that I saw for Mortal Kombat X where... Sub-Zero reaches into someone's stomach, rips out their organs, freezes them, and then stabs them in the skull with them.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what?
You would not.
And then they just shake it off and it's like, okay, let's
go. It's like, okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, that's,
like,
one
nah,
of those,
bro.
Me. That's one of the that's one little disconnect in the Mortal Kombat games when they do things like, no, you're dead. But
it's
when
funny.
When the match is over, like, even the winner is covered in damage. Like, they've lost an eye, like, a rib is hanging out. Like,
there's a really funny one with Cassie Cage where she's like sitting there blowing bubble gum, and like most of her face is gone. It's like, ooh,
yeah, that happened.
Chewing that gum right now.
But well, and also in, I know in X, there's a I've talked about it before on this podcast. I saw it at E3 and couldn't believe it. Of Cassie Cage's nut breaker move. In general, X almost seems like too much for me. Like, yeah, it's. There you can, I guess it'll, as graphics improve, it'll only get more realistic.
Yeah.
But like, I saw one, the big one for me was, it's more of a fatality than X-ray move, but I think it is Scorpion or Sub-Zero cuts off the other one's face, but like it's a slash over their face. So, like, their face then slides off, and then you see all the detail inside, including, like, what's left of their brain slides out.
That's pretty bad.
That's awesome.
There's one, and again with the Cassie Cage, this one's also a fatality, but there's something where she, like, shoots them a bunch and then shoots them in the head, and then she walks over and takes out her gum and puts it on their forehead, and like the hole in their forehead blows a blood bubble out of it, and it's like, what? Oh, wow. What?
They've come a long way since the uppercut head falling off. The heart eating. And the spiky pits.
And we can't forget Devorah, like, sending insects to eat someone's head. Like, literally eat it so much that it falls off and she stomps on their skull. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
I'm looking forward to that game in the new year.
Looks like fun.
Pre-order?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like no, I'm not going to pre-order it. All right, number three. God of War 3's Zeus face pounding. Ashley, you were just watching this one.
I was, and it's pretty gruesome. I thought the Hercules one was a little bit worse, but they're pretty much just as bad, where Kratos just stands there and just wails on them.
So is that the decapitation one, the Hercules one, where he, like, tears off his head?
No.
He beats Hercules' face in until it, like,
there is no more
caves
face.
In. Yeah.
I see.
And then there's the decapitation with...
Heracles?
No.
No, it's Achilles?
Apollo? No.
I don't remember
Ajax?
That one.
No, the guy with the wings on his feet.
Oh, Hermes.
Hermes, yeah. He rips Hermes' head off. He, like, twists it, and then that guy's screaming. That one's really epic.
Because
he's screaming as he's pulling his head off.
Really, anytime really awesome. Kratos does anything super fast. But in this one in particular, just, like, beating his face until there's no more face to be beaten. The face is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Kratos, no.
Well, this is supposed to, you know, it's the payoff for really
everything.
A whole trilogy of games of, like, you've been waiting this entire time of, like, time to get revenge on Zeus. Time to make Zeus pay and beat him to death. Like, and it's just, though there's also the, there's another one in there that also makes me wince, where it was the second person camera beating, where it's like you're controlling Kratos, but you just beat this guy. Now you're looking through his eyes at Kratos beating you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And like up until the point he tears his eyes out.
God, that whole game. But I think that's probably why the Zeus one is on this list as opposed to any others, because it's like, it's the climactic moment and it's just so intense and looks like it hurts.
Well,
so
it lasts a pretty
much.
Long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It lasts a while.
It makes you like, okay, you got it.
Oh,
buddy.
Nope, he's still going. Okie doke.
He's dead. He's dying.
He's dead, dude.
Number two, Quake 4's Strogification. We've talked about this before, I think, on a previous Top 7, so I'm familiar with it, which is just like, this pretty horrible thing that happens to the main character in the middle of Quake, where you get captured and like you are powerless, you can't move, and you're watching like your character's body get carved up on like a machine assembly line, basically.
Yeah, and you're just getting pieced together.
You're getting pieced together, turned into no longer a human, no longer a full human. And the way it's like built is this great horror trick of the thing that's ahead of you, like you can see the person ahead of you and it's happening to them first. And so you're like, you get to know what's just about to happen to you when it happens.
Yes, you do. You're like, oh my God, they just sawed his legs off. They're gonna cut to black. No, they're not. They didn't cut to black. Oh my God.
My legs.
Yeah, they stuck with it the whole way, which has made it extra intense and definitely like, you just are kind of like sucking air through your teeth, like.
And and it's funny because they would eventually cut to black, but it was only after something really gross had happened. And then you're like, okay, this has to be it, right? And then it would come back, and there's like, nope, there's more. Mm-hmm. It's like, no.
It's like you lose consciousness in the middle of it or something.
I mean, if you're getting your legs sawed off, it's like,
I'm pretty sure you'd faint right away. I would.
I think you would too. Well, unless they like maybe they had filled him with so many chemicals that like it was keeping him awake, you know.
And it's like possible. unless you died of shock first.
Maybe he was juiced up on painkillers or something.
They must have done something because he doesn't really make any noise.
He's like, oh, my legs.
He's just like,
new legs.
I'd be fucking screaming just the entire time. The screaming would not stop.
Mm-hmm. All right, and number one. Metal Gear Solid 4's Microwave Corridor. All right, so
that was the longest
hallway.
Help me
out on this one.
Yeah. Well, so this one isn't torture like the other Metal Gear one, but it kind of takes you pretty much up to the end of Snake. Like, it's one of the last things Snake does ever in a game. Like, and it. So, you know, Snake's been battling the Ocelot and his forces this whole time, and he has to get to the other end. He's got to get into this room, but to do it, he has to walk through this corridor. But everybody is warning him, like, this will kill you. Like, it's unprotected microwaves are going to be blasting you the entire way you walk there. You're really hurt already. Like, you really shouldn't do this. And he's like, nope, the world will end if he doesn't do it. And so he goes in there, and he's as on his active camo suit, but it doesn't really make a difference. It's like melting off him as he goes. And it just lasts so long, and the player, you know, you're doing inputs to keep him moving.
Yeah, you're crawling.
You're like hitting triangle as hard as you can.
Like trying to run through there, and then you like slow to a walk because you're getting weaker. And then at the end, you're just like crawling like one step at a time. Like,
And like cutscenes are happening at the same time as this, but you're still focused on him. And you know, you weren't sure if this wasn't the end of Snake or not. Like, you can't count on anything in Metal Gear games. So you can just go like, well, is this it? Is this the end of Snake? Like, am I just going to watch him, like, melt?
I was totally expecting his, like, a close-up of his face just, like, bubbling up.
And just his skin fall off
right
or something.
Off. Yeah. That would have been an epic end.
It is such an intense scene.
He'd be a liquid snake.
Yeah, then he'd be a liquid snake.
No longer solid.
Not so solid.
Yeah, I wonder if Metal Gear 5 can really top that scene for like uncomfortable, painful to watchness to it.
I'm sure they'll try.
Yeah.
They always have those.
They're already saying something weird's going to happen with the quiet, so who knows?
Yeah, the quiet is weird, and then there's also just a lot of I mean, like, Kaz is, like, really torn up in the trailers. Like, clearly he's been tortured, too. Yeah.
And I mean, in Ground Zeroes, didn't someone end up with,
no,
like, a
bomb? Yes, yeah, that was really, that was honestly too messed up. What they did to Paz, like, way too much. Like,
yeah, that was
pretty
poor
Paz. Yeah. Oh. All right, so that was our super exciting Christmassy top seven for this week.
Joy to the world.
Happy Christmas, all.
And again, be sure to check Games Radar every week for a new top seven every Monday. Keep an eye on it, guys. All right, because also we won't have a podcast in the next 2 weeks to explain the top seven to you, so it's just up to you to read it.
Indeed.
go read it.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, and when we come back, the current events section, where we talk about some news and maybe not a lot else because things are pretty quiet right now.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the current events segment. Current events.
Woo.
Well, if anyone wants to make us a new current events song, please
if
do.
If you guys
a shorter one.
If you guys have any other news things to add to this, we can. I didn't really see a ton of big news related to games this week.
No.
Other than the Final Fantasy 15 trailer, which already came out during TGS in September, finally has an English language version that came out, so now you get used to the voices that you'll actually be hearing when you play the game, likely. Unless, I wonder if they will put a Japanese voice track on there. I bet they won't.
Yeah, they might. You never know.
I mean, it'd be English with an extra layer of douchiness.
It felt like a new trailer seeing it again in English. I'd kind of forgotten what happens in the trailer.
Yeah, I just knew the monster was going.
Yeah, the monster picks up. But it also, it made clear some story points. Like, we're totally there in the subtitles. Like, if I had read if I had remembered what the subtitle said, I would remember, oh, she's waiting for us.
There's a prince, and he's run away from
home. I
guess
those are his bodyguards or something.
But even that stuff over the radio, makes a lot more sense now, with when you can just hear it all at once. And their road trip's pretty interesting. One of my favorite lines is when they're just on the road, and they're just like, I could use a bath.
Yeah. It's so random.
It's like, you look like you just walked out of a movie shoot. You look perfect. You don't need a bath.
Even the super fancy graphics, we can't make him look like he actually needs a bath. So.
That would be gross.
They all have amazing hair.
Why are they taking a road trip?
And maybe he's abandoning his responsibilities.
That's what it sounds like. He's abandoning it, and they're just sort of his buddies or his personal guards.
Monster.
It sounds like there's some kind of conflict, and they're all fleeing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it looks pretty scary out there with all the...
True.
And it was, just the slow-moving monster, looked really cool. And hearing him talk about, look at the... He'd say, those are shards.
That is an astral shard.
Is that thing on fire?
I also do like that... I'm interested to see what they're doing with that ability that basically is like a teleport move. He throws a thing.
One?
Yeah, he throws a sword, and then he flies to where it was.
Here's the other thing, though. It's like
king.
They pick up swords out of thin air.
They just materialize and whack things with it.
So it's almost like...
It's like a key blade.
Advent Children, right?
Yeah.
Where he sort of had his pick of what sort of sword that he wanted. I feel like it's like that. Like there's sort of an air.
Yeah,
well,
I
but
can
in
see
Cloud's
that.
Case, he yeah. like had them somewhere. They were like in the other sword.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. They were all combined.
But this is more like a key
or they like would fly out of his motorcycle.
That's true.
He had his own little arsenal in his motorcycle. I'm pretty sure there's no room in there for that. It needs an engine.
I'm not surprised it feels like a keyblade because this was worked on for so long by the Kingdom Hearts team. Mm-hmm. So
it's true because that's exactly what a keyblade does. It vanishes when you don't need it.
But I mean that makes sense from a design standpoint. These animated character models can't always be holding swords. It's a lot of time to put in the animation of putting your sword away, taking it back out.
They did do it in
variations on the animations.
They did do it in 12, though. They went with the sword going back on in 12, but no one remembers that game, so I guess it doesn't matter.
It's a real forgotten game. I'm hoping they'd someday make an HD version of that because it was really got... It's like the forgotten Final Fantasy game.
It's a really good one, too. That's the crazy part. Don't shake your head, Lorenzo. I see that.
No. Well, I think we have a fun video to accompany the Final Fantasy thing. I don't want to talk too much about it. I'd rather people see it instead of us over-explaining it. But go to our YouTube page and check out that Final Fantasy video.
It's like our 15. Super awesome, extra cool
trailer.
English version.
It's on the website, too, but yeah.
It's on the website, too. But hey, why don't you go to our YouTube page and subscribe to it, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Why don't you?
And then I think the only other big news this week broke this morning. By the way, we are recording this on Thursday. If you're listening to this on Friday, we're recording on Thursday, so if... Big news broke on Friday, and sorry we missed it. But
we almost got away with it, Henry. God damn it.
Anyway, so Telltale, even though they're making everything else under the sun, like they're making so many games, they are also making a story mode for Minecraft.
Which is, even I'm a little like, what? Like, I love Telltale, but I'm like, seriously, what are you going to do with this?
It's like all the people over there just going through a checklist of everything that's popular right now, like Minecraft, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and they're just like, let's make games out of these things.
They're
working
do a Star
for
Wars
them,
one.
Though.
Yeah, a Star Wars one's probably
like
coming
Star
up.
Star Wars is probably
I wonder if they, that is like one step above Game of Thrones, but not by much. Like though, if they land a Game of Thrones, they could land Star Wars.
But then they're gonna have to contend with the mouse to get Star Wars, which is a pretty big gatekeeper.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal for Disney to give that to them. I don't know if Telltale is big enough for them because they wouldn't just have to mess with Disney. It's also that EA they're making the Star Wars games. They have the Star Wars games rights. So they'd have to like co-make it with EA, and they haven't really worked with EA before. They're working with 2K to make Borderlands, but
they're building up though, because they started small and they're working their way higher and higher to different groups.
Just give me an X-Men one and we're good.
Yeah, any Marvel one would be great. Like I would think just any convert. There's just too many. I saw somebody on Twitter when it got announced, like, why doesn't Telltale make something original? Why are they just making all this other stuff? Like, because they don't need to.
Like,
they
and
have
plus
no
they
reason.
They got to generate some more revenue
and
that other stuff before they can pursue like a new IP.
Well, they've been making they make so much, they sell so many of those, you know, third-party things that belong to somebody else. They probably have like people breaking down their door. Ever since The Walking Dead was such a mega hit and won Game of the Year from all these places, including us, like, I think lots of companies were saying, like, make our thing your next Telltale game. Make us.
That's true. And I mean, oh, crap. I was going to say something. Oh, they did. They've made original stuff, but I feel like what they're making now is infinitely more popular.
There's very few wholly original things they made. But, yeah, there was Puzzle Agent. Mm-hmm. And is there anything else other than Puzzle? Puzzle Agent is the only thing coming to mind that was, like, wholly original by them.
Yeah, you're probably. I was thinking Monkey Island for a second, but that's not right.
Nope. Yeah, they did. Like they got.
So they did one thing.
They've just been slowly building up what the level of stuff they make. Like they started with Strong Bad and Sam and Max, and then and then it was a big deal when they got Monkey Island. But now Monkey Island feels like nothing compared to the stuff they're working with these days.
Now they've got like HBO on the line, and they're like, "Yeah, we can do this.
Yeah,
we can
it's
do
a
this."
Good deal.
Though this Minecraft thing seems interesting to me too, because like Microsoft owns it now. Microsoft owns Mojang, but it seems like it was a deal made before Microsoft bought them. Because I would say it obviously is because it's coming to Sony systems. It's going to be on PlayStation, the story mode of Minecraft. Yeah. So
maybe that was part of the deal. It's like, well, you can have it, but this has to stay.
This is already happening. You can't stop it.
Well, when they bought Mojang, like they made it clear they weren't going to remove Minecraft from Sony systems. Like, so they weren't going to take it away.
That kind of sounds like it's like we're not going to add either.
Yeah, that feels like the Microsoft move is just like, oh, we're not going to take it away in a year from now. They're like, we're taking it away. Like,
they downloaded it already because it's not in the PSN store.
We're delisting this.
This will the Sony version of Minecraft will be to the Xbox version of Minecraft as the Xbox version of Team Fortress to the PC version. That took some work, but I got there.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see them just saying, like, why would we bother patching the Sony thing? Like, eventually. I wouldn't think they'd do that at first. The Team Fortress stopped getting patched and updated because, like, Microsoft made it very, like, Valve just wanted to do it for free, and Microsoft was like, no, you have to charge for it, and we have to go through this approval process every time. And I was like, I guess we're done making Xbox 360 games then.
Yeah, and the approval process costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like every time you put a game through approval, it's like, I don't even know.
It's tens of thousands.
Well, if you fail and you have to resubmit, it was at least like $10,000.
And for an indie studio, that can bankrupt you.
That's everyone's paycheck. Yeah.
And I mean, bringing that back to Telltale, they've talked about that before. They're like, we can't The console ones always come out later because of the freaking approval process versus PC, where just like that.
Well, yeah, they would like finish Walking Dead and like, well, it is done, but we got to wait to be approved. And like one, or I remember like having talked with the Telltale people before, like in interviews and stuff, like, so episode 3 is coming when? And they're like, well, one person has signed, one company has signed off on it, but another hasn't. So.
Yeah. I've heard that same thing from Telltale employees who are just like, we're just waiting for that approval. Everything else is done.
Hey, was there any other big news this week that you guys recall? Gaming related?
In particular. I mean, we didn't talk about the fourth Evolve monster, but that's kind of past. So.
What about that? Yeah. Final Fantasy trailer?
I think
do you want to talk about Type
Zero? Oh, the Type Zero one?
I mean,
the
hugely new, but I mean, no. Type Zero, the Japanese only PS, I almost said PCP. PSP game.
PCP game.
You got PCP on the mind.
PSP game that was Japan exclusive is now coming to America and Europe. And it's about a bunch of high school kids with magic powers, which is basically every Final Fantasy ever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People
are kind
of
soldiers
excited.
In that one, though.
Yeah, they're like at a military academy. And some of them have, like, I guess, betrayed the academy. So that's kind of where the story's going. And they're all named after cards. Like, someone's name is Eight, and someone else's name is Queen. So.
There's an Ace one, too. Yeah.
And a Deuce. It's like, oh, that's unfortunate for you.
A Deuce. Come here.
I'm going to take you.
All right. I don't think there were any big previews this week either, were there? Like,
I think we're kind of mostly done.
Though, reviews are not over because there were two big reviews. Well, big. There were two reviews this week. one by Andy Kelly, a freelancer, Elite Dangerous, which is a... Give it a 4 out of 5. What even is it?
It's like a spaceless sim or something?
Yeah, it's a space sim. That's right. Like a massive, beautiful galaxy to freely explore, deep, satisfying flight simulation, and no hand-holding. You choose your own path. Those were his big notes on it. So the galaxy can feel lifeless at times, though, he says. And then meanwhile, just published while we were in here, our own Maxwell McGee posted his review for Guilty Gear Zerd sign.
XRD.
XRD sign. Which he gave a 3.5 out of 5, which he says, vibrant art style, stunning and stunning presentation, aggressive in-your-face matches, and new characters and mechanics are fun to play, but the roster feels small compared to other fighters, latency noticeable even on strong connections, and stale educational modes, poor replay sharing.
That equates to a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 games are fine.
But it's
poor to replay.
I was interested to see where Guilty Gear would go when it comes to, like, this is a next-gen Guilty Gear, and... It's technically using like a what's the word I'm looking for? That it's all cel shaded, but it is on polygonal models now instead of drawn characters. So I'm wondering if that had something to do with the shrunken roster, like the roster being smaller. It's just they have to make completely new character models instead of just reusing the 2D guys they had in previous years.
It takes more time.
Could be. It's like first step into that, you know, that sort of dimension. So,
well, and knowing the Guilty Gear games, like we'll get like 3 different versions of this over the next year, like that they'll just redo like Zerd Sign Spectacularium Edition.
Remix.
Remix. Something
makes HD
Ultimate.
Super. Make sure you get the season pass, kids.
All right, so those were our big final reviews of the year. So now we're going to take another break, and when we come back, the community segment. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, and now it's time for that promised community segment.
World's Laziest Dancing Today.
I love that song. Sorry, I had a big lunch. All right. So, yeah, we had quite an opulent lunch today. We really did. All right. This week's last week's question of the week was, what game from 2014 do you regret not having yet played? And so I picked our four favorite answers, one of which will win something from us. So if you answered the last week's, better listen in. You might have won something. Keep listening. All right, so I'll go with the first person. That's EAC73 wrote, I haven't gotten around to playing Wolfenstein New Order. I was somewhat hyped for it, but never gotten around to buying it. I imagine it will be super cheap on the Steam Winter Sale, so I'll pick it up soon. And that is true. The Steam Winter Sale has just begun, Mike, and you guys should
totally
keep an eye on it for something crazy.
Oh, and there's some, I don't know about Xbox, but there's some great free games on PSN, so go get them.
Well, there always are.
Yes, I know, but they're particularly good this time.
You're talking about PlayStation Plus. Well, there's some more than just PlayStation Plus. That's true. There's other free games.
That's true.
The Plus.
But mostly PlayStation Plus. That's true.
Mm. All right.
Vizar Magic says, the one game I haven't played so far is Shadow of Mordor. I have it in my backlog, just waiting for me to launch it at least once a week. I think of what my Uruk nemesis will be like. His name will be Ballsack Butticus the Ratlicker.
I don't know if that's an option, but sure.
Yeah, if you could name
I think that's what he's hoping will happen.
Yeah, if you can name your Uruk, that'd be cool.
Cool. All right. Mine's from GLuna46. Bayonetta 2. That's if I had a Wii U. Oh, that rhymes. I might be able to buy myself a Wii U for Christmas. If that's the case, I will buy and play Bayonetta 2.
Nice. Dango Mushi says, Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions. Not only did I love the previous game, but I just finished a lengthy stressful semester at college, and I dearly want to destroy some math.
Your Irish is coming out.
Stressful.
That is, yeah, it would feel pretty good to destroy some math after a long, long time in college.
Yes. But then you start to miss it a little bit.
All right. But you know what? Our favorite one this week, I'm going to go with Vizar Magic, who, you know, mainly just for the ball sack. But a rat licker.
We're mature here at Games Radar.
Yes.
So for that, email radioradar@gamesradar.com. Tell us that you are the winner and, you know, tell us what game systems you have and your address, and we will send something your way as a thank you. All right. So this week's question of the week and the final one of 2014. What gaming wish would you make to Santa? You've got Santa right there, and you can make any wish that has to do with video games. What would you make?
I know.
Give me Silent Hills in March.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. I would.
Yeah.
Please.
I know it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying. Please, Santa, please.
Maybe he'll say. Santa will go like, okay, March 2016.
No!
No!
Santa, no!
You're like Calypso from Twisted Metal.
You have to be more specific with your wishes.
Yeah.
Santa's an evil genie.
If Adventure Time has taught us anything.
There was a
specific.
It was one of those weird, you guys ever watch X-Files?
The
genie one?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
That was one of my favorite goofy episodes because the genie in it she did grant wishes, and she was simply magic. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She was magic. But then she granted two of Mulder's wishes, and they were cheap tricks. And Mulder was just like, come on, seriously, you knew what I meant.
Yeah.
And so then when he's about to make his third wish, he writes up a lawyer's litany of things. And just,
I remember that.
He hands her a paper well, this is my third wish. He's like, you're taking all the fun out of this.
Nice. That was a good one. It took all the wishes literally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. What about you guys? What would you want?
Ashley, didn't you have you had one of mine.
I do. Santa, please. I want Dishonored 2. Please. I need it.
I bet that'll be announced eventually.
No, I want it now. I don't know for sure. I need to know.
My wish would be just to, if he can just magically make me know Japanese. That would be my wish. Because now that I have a Japanese 3DS, I'm like, boy, I wish I can play games that don't involve reading too much, like Puyo Puyo Tetris or the upcoming Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest, which I'm really looking forward to. All those RPGs I enjoy, can't really play those if you don't know Japanese. So.
Do you want to be too Sugoi to die, Henry?
Yes, I would. All right, Lorenzo.
All my gaming Christmas wishes are coming true this year. It's going to be awesome. New Zelda's coming out, which I'm super excited for. Majora's Mask is coming out with the 3DS.
And soon.
Yeah, and that's coming in spring. And Star Wars Battlefront's coming. Man, 2015 is going to be the craziest year ever.
It's going to rule.
If I had to make a wish to Santa, I'd say give them all to me now.
Well, aren't you a little selfish?
You might explode, though, right?
Yeah. So, well, actually, I would want them spaced out. So I'd want, like, maybe Majora's Mask, like, now. And then when I'm done with that, it immediately goes to, like, Battlefront. And then right after I'm done with that, it'll immediately go to Zelda. So I have time to enjoy each one.
What about Star Fox?
So the good joke answer after all this would be to say, like, well, I wish for world peace. I'm not selfish.
God
like
damn. I wish for every poor child to get a video game.
Well, they can't eat the video
that
game.
Was Mulder's, that was Mulder's.
You went to a dark
wish.
Place.
Oh, yeah. All right. So put your answer in the comment sections for this week's episode on GamesRadar.com. It's episode 120, in case you were curious. And one of you will be chosen to win something. We'll be Santa ourselves and send something to the best, our favorite question from this week's episode. But that won't be until 2015 because we are about to hang it up for another year. So
hang up the stockings.
But I do believe Friday will have already happened, but this is a good time to remind people that we do stream every week.
Yeah, we stream every week on Mondays from 4 to 6 and Wednesdays from 3:30 to 5. But for the next 2 weeks, we won't be streaming.
So we just lied to you.
So just go on the Games Radar Twitch channel, give us a follow, and as soon as we come back, you'll know when we're
going to watch all some our great games.
Yeah, you can watch all our great archive stream. Like, watch all 24 hours of our 24-hour marathon. Yeah,
watch two guys fighting climaxes. Together.
Yeah. And if you catch this podcast before tomorrow, Friday, keep an eye out on Games Radar's Twitch stream. You might have a surprise coming.
Mm. Well, that's exciting. So, I guess that's about it. Thanks again for listening all year long, and we will see you in 2015. Have a safe and happy holidays, everybody. And until next time, Radio Radar out!